Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your half-hour inspirational program. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. I understand that we had some technical difficulty on last Friday's show. I do certainly and sincerely apologize about that. I was told that there was a great deal of static. So what we're going to do is we're going to do another segment of last week's program. And this is The Power in the Word of God, Part 3. But we're going to actually bring it in a different format. So once again, if you should encounter any static or anything along those lines, certainly in tuning into this evening's program, you will not have missed anything because we're going to bring the full program to you in a different format in its entirety. So once again, you're listening to your half-hour inspirational program, which is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And I want to say that if you've been listening to some of our programs on Tuesday evening, thank you for that as well. That's the relationship show from Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, tonight is the ministry that we do for half hour. I also want to say that we have a publication that I'll bring more information to you throughout Tuesday's show, as well as this evening, and that is it's a publication that comes out every Sunday. Every Sunday, it sells for only $1.20, and it helps support this ministry. And, of course, I would like to, part of the proceeds we're putting together to assist families in need. I want to launch a Save Our Families campaign as well as a scholarship fund for those in need. So if you would take a look at, go to my website, drjessewalker.com, or you can certainly visit us at online at drjessewalker.com. Or if you would like more information, go to online at drjessewalker.com, online, drjessewalker.com, and request more information on the publication. And I will send you a free sample. That's right. I will send you a free sample of the publication. It's all about a closer walk with God, connecting with Him, and it also deals with practical information to just sort of thought-provoking, give you something to think about for the opportunity to meet certain intrinsic needs and fulfilling those needs that God has already equipped you with. All right, we're going to invite God into our programming tonight. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for the word and the power in your word, which we bring to the listeners this evening. Christ, my friend, thank you. Amen. Now, tonight's topic, once again, The Power in God's Word, Part 3. We're bringing this in a different format in its entirety in case there were some of you all that may have missed the program. Now, starting out, the Bible talks about the Word of God. And when you go to Genesis, the opening area, in the beginning, God. And so sometimes we may be wondering or thinking along the lines of where did God come from? You know, certainly as a kid, I pondered this question over and over again. And sometimes even as an adult, it may register across our minds, how could things be this magnificent? And there was someone, a spiritual being perhaps, that constantly existed. Well, you know, we have a finite mind. We don't have a mind like his. And so that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. And that's where we have to learn to trust him where we can't trace him, because our minds are nowhere equated to what his infinite mind is capable of doing. And, you know, one of the things when we talk about the power in the word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, the Bible tells us that. The King James Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, when you look at 2 Timothy 3:16, it actually tells us that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I mean, when you look at this, this is really heavy. 2 Timothy 3:16, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible tells us. Then also that in 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we have people who are moved by the Holy Spirit today, and many of them are even lay people that are out here to promote God's word, to let people know how powerful he is, and his word is powerful. You see, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. And we talked about this in some different segments of the Half Hour Inspirational program. And the word of God is so powerful that he can actually, I mean, if you just want to do an illustration or a demonstration, if you go to your light switch at some point in time and you flip that on, you know, or flip it off, and then flip it off, yes, flip it on, and then flip it off, and then say the words, let there be light. And at the same time that you're concluding with the word light, flip that switch on and let it be light. That is how I believe God's word, the power in his word works. And just like when you flip that switch upward to turn it on, and that light appears from, and there was dark where there was once darkness. That's how powerful God's word is. So when you're facing a situation in your life, no matter what that is, it could be something that you're going through, that can be the worst case scenario. But then if you believe in the power and the word of God, now it doesn't mean that if you've done something out there that's caused an offense to someone or done something wrong, doesn't mean that you're not going to pay the consequences of that. You will suffer the consequences of that, because the Bible tells us that we reap whatsoever we sow. We reap whatsoever we sow. So God will give you the strength. He will give you the ability. He will give you the endurance to weather that storm, no matter what it is. You may have even lost a loved one. God equips us to be able to go on. There are support groups for any situation or crisis that's out there. Remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the Bible tells us that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our situation is, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. So now when you begin to trust in him, the word of God, you got to realize that the word of God is living and it's powerful. Just like back in that time, in that era, when God said, let there be light, God, the same God back then that separated the light from the darkness, that same God is evident and real today. And the word of God is impacted. The word of God is still alive. The word of God is still powerful. Now, as you'll see in some of the following scriptures, the words are contained in the Bible. They're living. They can be brought to life because God brings them to life. And, you know, and his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. His power is even sharper. Now, the Bible tells us that God is spirit. You know, there's a supernatural power within God. And the word was made flesh. The word was made flesh, and therefore Jesus came into being. Now, let me take you back to some more scriptures. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can read that in Hebrews 4:12. You know, so, I mean, when we talk about the power in the word of God, I mentioned to you all in a previous segment that, you know, if you find a situation that, for example, you're dealing with, and find one of the promises, over 3,500 promises, and you're going to hear me repeat this often throughout these programmings, you're going to find that there's power in God's word to help you to be able to deal with any situation. But find one of those promises, over 3,500, and see what God's word is so powerful. God cannot lie. His word has to go out and manifest whatever he says and sends it out to do. And his word will never return unto him void. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that without a shadow of a doubt, that his word will work wonders in your life. You know, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Once again, that's Hebrews 4:12. Find one of these promises that meets your circumstance or your situation, and you turn that over to God. Put his word absolutely right back to him, and you're asking him for something, that he promised in his word. But now it doesn't come without conditions, because, see, when you want God to do something for you, then you need to align yourself to do something for God. It might be a situation out there that you're doing something that's contrary to God's word, but yet you're asking him to bless you in your mess. You know, it doesn't work like that. God is already shining, causing the sun, the rain, all the good things, all of these amenities. Every one of us get to appreciate these things. So he is already blessing you, but there are times when we want something specific from God. We want him to do a certain thing in our lives. Well, you see, then we want to call upon him. And God is not interested in dealing with you in your mess. He will help you through your situation. But see, God is calling you because God wants to save your soul. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to have that relationship with him. He wants you to trust him. And even if, no matter what your situation and circumstances are, when you know, you might be even doing very well today financially. Your economic situation may not be like other people. Your children may be in line doing all the right things, but somewhere along the way you've lost a relationship, or you never may even have had a relationship with God. Well, let me tell you something. There is a spiritual aspect of where you may be void of that spiritual relationship with God. You see, those that worship God have to worship him in spirit and in truth. But, you know, some point in your life, something is missing. Something is missing. Even when you think everything is going well and you're happy-go-lucky and all of this stuff, but somewhere, at some point, you're going to feel a void. And see, the Bible tells us that we are, along the lines here, we are spiritual creatures having a human experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So we need to hold on to that thought. We need to realize that this is what's going on with us. At all times when there's that void, that sense of void, we need to recognize that God is there for us, that God is doing all that he can to bring us back to him, to have that relationship with us. So that's one of the things that you don't want to miss out on, is that relationship with God. Oftentimes people get so sidetracked because they're thinking that, you know what, I want to have this relationship with God, but I don't know how. All it takes is just simply getting on your knees and having a prayer, and praying that prayer and say, Lord, come into my life. Help me, O Lord, where I cannot help me, O Lord, where I cannot do for myself. Be with me. I invite you into my life. And so these are the things that you want to take place in your life as you are going forward. So these are the things that I want you to think about when you talk about God's word. These are the things that I want you to think about when you're asking for something. Align yourself. Get it right. And God will grant you the desires of your heart. You may have missed out on some opportunities, the heart of the matter, or whatever it may be. But then there comes a time when what you've got to do is to say, you know what, God? I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to trust you where I can't trace you. All right, right now we're going to go to the phone lines for a moment, and we'll go back to some of our scriptural thoughts. And we're going to bring in, once again, by popular demand, Elder Willie Walker. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you for joining us this evening. The Word of God.
Yeah, I heard you. I've been trying to get in for the last 20 minutes or so. Right. Okay.
We apologize for that. We understand that there was some technical difficulty last week, so we're doing the show over in its entirety, but we're bringing it from a different format. So when you hear about the Word of God, the power in the Word of God, can you give us a testimony or your thoughts or experience on how powerful God's Word is?
Well, I heard you, as you said, God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is, and it's very, very powerful. And we got to have a relationship with God. I definitely believe that. I said, just like you have a relationship with your significant other, or like you have a relationship with a best friend, you got to have a relationship with God. And the only way we can have that relationship with them is through prayer and also through reading His Word. And when we pray, as I mentioned on yesterday morning, prayer doesn't bring God down to us, but prayer brings us up to God. So we have to have that relationship with Him and spend time with Him and all. So God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. It directs us in all truth. It corrects us that we may be thoroughly, as you mentioned early in the text that you were mentioning early, that we may be thoroughly furnished in order to share the good word to God. To God's people and all, because it's our duty as ministers, and we all are ministers. I heard you mention about the lay people too. We all are ministers, and we're to share the word. We're to share the good news to everybody that we come in contact with. But we can't share what we don't believe. We can't share what we don't have. So in order to have a relationship, we must study God's word. We must pray to Him so we can share it with others. And that's what He's called us to do. And that's stated to us in Matthew 28:19-20, where it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." So God has given us that. He's given that commission to go and teach and baptize so the people can be ready to meet Him when He comes.
I think that's a mouthful there. That's an amen. And I want to share also, Isaiah, you know, I want to just throw out some scriptures also, and Elder Walker, you can certainly piggyback on some of this here or give us some more scriptures as the Spirit moves you. Isaiah 55:11, the Lord says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And this, of course, is from one of the revised Bibles, but the word is here. And then here we have Jeremiah 23:29. It's not my word like a fire. It's not my word, that is, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Jeremiah 23:29. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. John 6:63. So there's God telling us how powerful His word is, and as we think about it, He is the vine, and we are the branches, and we do nothing without Him. And so we might be thinking that we're having tremendous success on one end, but then something can fall apart all of a sudden, and we feel like the end of the world has fallen upon us. And see, when you have that spiritual relationship with God, when things start to fall apart, may fall apart around you, you still have a foundation. You can hold on to Him by holding on to His word. And just as you said, and the way that you have that relationship is through prayer and through also study of His word. And the more prayer, more what?
More power. A lot of prayer, lots of power. Little prayer, little power. And just like it says in Psalms 119:11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So the word is in our heart. It becomes a part of us. So if it's there, you know, you come to mind now when you're confronted with evil. Oh, I got God's word. Just like when Joseph was confronted by Potiphar's wife, who tried to seduce him and everything. He said, my master, he's talking about with a small M, he's talking about Potiphar. He's given everything in my hands in this house except for you being his wife and all. He said, how can I do this great evilness and sin against God? He wasn't talking about against Potiphar, but he had a relationship with God. So he said, how can I do this great evilness and sin against God? So we got to have a relationship with him. So when we're confronted with evil, we will resist it, and the devil would definitely flee from us. He says, don't even go near the appearance of evil. Resist the appearance of evil. Don't even go near it, because if it were possible, the devil would deceive the very elect. So we don't even go near it, right? So that word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Right, and also in David, in Psalms, in Psalms 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. And, of course, this may be from the New International Version of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then here again we have Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I mm-hmm. ate them. And your
yeah.
word was me, the joy and rejoicing of my
heart. Mm-hmm.
And I think that becomes so important. When you can get in there and you can eat the word of God, it brings mm-hmm. that spiritual life. And see, oftentimes we believe that it's just food, that physical food that sustains
mm-hmm.
us. But see, the Bible tells us that
can
man
you give that scripture
by
again,
what?
Jeremiah 15? Jeremiah 15, what was it again? The words
Jeremiah
were found and I did eat them. Mm-hmm.
Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word
mm-hmm.
was to me the joy and rejoicing of my
rejoicing
heart.
Rejoicing of mine heart.
Mm-hmm. Rejoicing
where's
of
that
my
again?
Heart. Jeremiah 15:16.
Yeah, I used to quote that all the time. When you were saying it came back to my mind. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So the word of God is so powerful. He says that his word will not go out and come back to him void, but it will manifest
mm-hmm.
that thing which he told it to do. And that's
mm-hmm.
how he is. And see, the Bible
mm-hmm.
also tells us that, you know, oftentimes we just think that we can live by the physical food, and we
mm-hmm.
believe that that sustains us. But see, we need a balance in life, and that balance comes from the word of God, because the Bible tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word
mm-hmm.
that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And see, that's
mm-hmm.
our spiritual food, because we're spiritual beings having a human experience. But when we don't
yes.
have that relationship with God, we're feeding
mm-hmm.
the feeding of the spirit person.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Spirit man, that spirit
mm-hmm.
woman, spirit child. And so if a
I
child,
like
that's
what
the Bible tells you, train up a child. When you're
mm-hmm.
training them up, part of that
mm-hmm.
training is to train them in the word of God so that when they're older,
mm-hmm.
they will not depart. And that's what that is all about. They have to be fed with the spirit of God in them so that when they're older, they can find the balance and know that it's like an airplane. You know, you need both wings to keep that thing up in the air. So those children.
And it won't come to their remembrance unless you've taught them from the beginning. And I like what you're doing tonight. I like the fact that you're quoting scriptures. You're giving a lot of scripture text here because, as you mentioned earlier, about no scripture is given by private interpretation. Okay, so therefore, when we read it, it's right there in the Bible. And so if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Don't give me your personal dogma. Give me what thus says the Lord, okay? Because by faith, you know, I believe in everything that the Bible says, not by what man says, but what thus says the Lord. And these men were inspired, the 40 men that wrote the Bible, and for the most part, they didn't even know each other over a 1,500-year period. They didn't even know each other, but it was in sync. You can see how in sync the Bible is, and what you find in the Old Testament, you find in the New Testament and all. And as you mentioned earlier in Jeremiah 15:16, I'm glad that words are found, and I did eat them, and they become a joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, that is so beautiful there, and just to know that the words are there, and we have to read them in order to have that relationship with God. And prayer, again, that's the other way that we communicate to him. Prayer doesn't bring God down to us, but prayer takes us up to God. Amen.
Well, I think that is a very good word, and we appreciate your comments and your thoughts on tonight's program. And, again, those of you all that heard me quote about man shall not live by bread alone, that's found in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And now, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes is out of pure milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if needed, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, you know, just like that newborn baby, you know, getting that word in, and it's even best if you have this daily connection with him, that daily relationship with him, that daily study of his word, that daily praying, so that then the evil that may come near you, you can stand and weather that. And even we are no task for the devil. But see, when we can put the word of God on the devil, it is written, just like this. That devil, just like you said earlier, he has to flee from you. No weapon formed against you can ever prosper. And people don't realize that because, see, they haven't eaten the word of God. When you begin to eat you begin to digest that and to live. The spirit lives within you. The power of God comes from within you to be able to call out this scripture through, because it's God's word. So when you're able to put that word out there, that devil can't do anything but flee from you and say, I can't mess with this person. But he will come at you again and again and again. Go ahead.
You know what was so profound to me today when I was reading it today? I was reading it to a group of children, and it was saying that when Jesus was in the wilderness and when he was assailed by Satan, when Satan thought that since Jesus was at his lowest point because he had fasted and prayed for 40 days, so Satan came and thought that he was going to overcome him. But as you mentioned, that text that you gave, man shall not live by word alone. So Jesus took the scripture, it is written. And then he quoted that scripture that you were just reading, man shall not live by word alone, but every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. But then it went on to say that Jesus couldn't handle Satan on his own. He had to have the Father's help because he at that point in time, he was in humanity. So he couldn't handle the Satan, as Satan was trying to assail him during that time when he was meek and lowly like that, when he was lowly at that point. But it's the same way with us. If Jesus had to pray for the Father in order to be a match for that enemy, that evil genius, what about us? We're no match for him. He's an evil genius. He has 6,000 years on us. There's no way that we can overcome the enemy on our own. So we have to ask God for help, just like Jesus did when he was in the wilderness.
All right, we're going to take a quick detour here. We're going to go to phone lines again. We're going to go to North Carolina. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have on the air this evening?
It's Gloria, but I wanted to just ask a question. I heard Elder Walker say that 40 men, inspired men, wrote the Bible. Where is that in the Bible, or is it in the Bible anywhere?
What I'll do is find that for you and get back with you next week, if you allow me to.
Okay.
Okay, yes, we can do that. We can bring that information back on the air. And I like, Gloria, we do appreciate your question. And we're going to ask you to keep listening to our broadcasts that are weekly. We've got about 60 seconds before we start to bring the show to a close. And I just want to give you an opportunity, Elder Walker, to give us your final thoughts on the power in the Word of God as we bring the show to a close.
My favorite scripture is found in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's basically what I want to say in my wrap-up.
Okay, and where is that found again? So for my listening
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. All of this is in line with what you're saying, because coming with your own private dogma, it doesn't work, okay? Because you have to read what thus says the Lord.
Amen. Okay. All right. Well, just break it down for us in 15 seconds or less. Lean not into your own understanding. Just for my listening audience, what does that actually mean?
Lean not to your own understanding. It's like you're coming with your own private interpretation and all. You want to give your own philosophical overview of something and all, and that's not going to get it. It has to come from the scripture. God's word is plain and it's right there for it's clear. All you have to do is read it, and he will make sure that you understand it. If any man like wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask freely, and he will give it to us.
Okay. On that note, we are out of time. We thank you, Elder Walker, for joining us, Gloria. We thank you for your question. those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight, we certainly hope and trust that you will continue to listen to this program every week from 8 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This has been your half-hour inspirational program. We look forward to speaking with you on Tuesday night's broadcast, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, everybody, we say good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
Amen.